So, okay, so we previously spoke about the fact about the getting to know me, right? The I, the verse, the me, who's who, etc. I finally put the source sheet together, so it's just last week's and this week's. If you look at the second source of Rod HaKodesh, et ha'ani shelanu nevakesh. We're looking for the greater ani, right? Grammatically, if Rav Kook was Miki speaking about my ani, he would say et ha'ani sheli. What do you say, ani shelanu? The greater I, right? The I am your God, is the greater I. Et atzmenu nevakesh. We're looking for ourselves, right? People say, the word people use the most in the vocabulary is I, and then they have a life crisis because they don't know who I am, right? And I'm searching for who I am. I say I all the time. I am hungry, I am thirsty, I want this, I want that, and yet I don't know who am I talking about? I don't know who I am, right? So, et atzmenu nevakesh venimza, and we'll find, if we look for the greater I. Haser kol Elohei nechar. Remove all idols, right? What are idols, right? In English, when you say this is an idol, not necessarily we're talking about a pagan idol, but something that you idolize, right? I want to be David Stein because I idolize him. That is an idol. I need to be me, right? Not only do I need to be me, I don't need to be me, Yonatan Hirshhorn, because Yonatan Hirshhorn is the part that I'm playing. I need to be me, I, who I am, the part of the greater I. Once you remove all other idols, the thing that you will know crystal clear is God. Because you will know the greater I, right? Once you can step out of the character and become the act and be the actor, then it will be so easy for you to meet the director. You can't talk to the director as long as you are the part that is being played. Only when you step out of part, right? All of a sudden, are you, can you talk to the director? Assuming, you know, let's say you're, I don't know, Vin Diesel, fine, playing whatever, right? And then you're all in that character of, you know, I'm Fast and Furious, I'm Mr. Macho, and you turn to the director and you're like, yo, go get me coffee, man. There's like, I'll fire you in 1 second, right? You have to step out of character in order to be able to, right? And once you shed off those layers, it will be so easy for you. The thing you will know is that, right? Once a light bulb stops thinking it's a light bulb and understands that it's a manifestation of electricity that is doing that, then all it will know is electricity, right? It will be so easy for it. Hamotzi etchem eretz Mitzrayim liot lachem le'elokim ani Hashem. Right? Why is God taking us out of Egypt? In order for us to shed the layers that we think that we are something. We saw great powers, great, quote-unquote, gods, great empires and emperors who are literally talking about how they're everything. And we saw how far man can get by thinking that he is something that he is not. And therefore, once you shed all those layers of slavery and subjugation, what you will know is that the greater I, right? So my whole life, I'm searching for who I am, right? And the only problem is that I'm trying to search for who I'm not. Right? And the most important thing for me to know is who I am, right? So imagine the following scenario. You're walking down the street, and some old guy who's about, like, you know, 80 or 100 walks up to you and he goes, drop that major. And you're like, what? He's like, I'm telling you, it's not going to help you out. You're like, who are you to tell me what major to take, what major not to take? And I was like, actually, I am you. I am you in 80 years. I actually came back to tell you that major is a waste of time in the future. And really what you need to learn is this major, because that's the future. And you'd be like, oh, wow. Oh, for sure. Okay, great. any other advice before you disappear? Yeah, don't marry Lisa. Okay, fine. Anything else? It will all turn out okay, right? So if a random guy who's not telling you what to do, of course but once you understand that is you, that is the greater you talking to you, the futuristic you, then you're not in conflict. Rather, you're so happy. And that's why the Torah calls, and we're going to see it later on, the Zohar calls the mitzvot not commandments, but rather advice. Advice from the greater you, telling you what you actually want to do. You're just not conscious of yet, because you're in a narrow perception of yourself. Which is why we call this the thing that the actor does is playing a part. You only have a part of the bigger picture, right? The actor has many parts of the bigger picture. But you, Yonatan Hirshhorn, is only a part. Now, even in Yonatan Hirshhorn, I have many parts, right? I have even smaller parts. One part is being a JLIC educator. One part is being a dad. One part is being a son. One part is being, right? And all these are just parts of me. And me is really just a part of I. And I is a manifestation of the greater I, what we call I am. All right, who wants to read to us? Rav Arya Kaplan. You're a good Arya Kaplan guy. Yeah, I mean, till till where it says inner space, page 50. And then we'll have somebody else.
The Ein Ani, the closest we can to come to conceiving God's essence, is to know what he is not. In this sense, the term Ein Sof also has the connotation that the ultimate nothingness. Thus, the Kabbalists use the term nothingness as it applies to something, which not only cannot be described, but which is totally beyond our concept and ineffable. When we then use the word Ein, nothingness, to describe the essence of a human being created in the image of God, we refer to the ultimate I that cannot be known. It is the intangible source of my will that impels me to do whatever I decide. It is higher than the thought itself, for it is obvious that it is the I that tells my mind to think. It is because the source of my will is on a level beyond thought that it is impossible to imagine it. There is simply no category in my mind into which it will fit. Therefore, when I try to imagine the source of my will, the real me, all I can depict is nothingness. From this point of two view,
this point of view, forget that.
From this point of view, all the other attributes of the human personality are not the real Ani, I, but can be defined more probably saying, my ego. The word ego is rooted in the Greek concept of I, which can be characterized as the sum total of physic functions, of psychic functions, that define a person's relationship with himself and the world. If this ego functions do not look to their source in the Ani, they merely stand in the way of one's growth and development as a person. If, however, they are garments or expressions of the Ani, as the Sfirot of Chokhmah and Malchut are expressions of Keter, then the basic ingredient of self, the will, can also connect to its source, the divine will. The more a person can identify with the true Ani, the more he's in touch with the divine within himself.
Right. So I advise you all to read this again, and obviously more of Arya Kaplan is always going to be good. But there's a difference between I and me and myself. Right. Me is mainly my ego. Right? What I want. Now, if me and I are in total disarray, then I'm in a constant internal struggle about who I am, what I am, where am I going, what am I doing, right? And therefore, when I understand that me, when it serves as a garment, as a vessel, as a tool for I, then it's good. But when it's ego, when it stands on its own, then it's destructive, right? So when I want to go to sleep because I'm tired, and me wants to watch another episode or just the next 5 minutes of an episode, I promise, right? And then all of a sudden it's 3 a.m, or when I really want to be able to study and do well, but me wants to go to whatever is exciting and flashy, then I have a problem, right? So we have this interesting concept that a person says, I don't think that was good for me. Who's talking right now? Right? We're the only creature in the world that can reflect on our actions. I don't think that was good for me. Who's thinking? Who's saying this? Right? So obviously I is saying that this wasn't good for me. What would be good for me? To be stronger connected to I. Right? So we all have these different facets of ourselves, and the I is part of me that connects to the greater I, where me is the part of me that is driven by ambition and growth and excitement and evolution and etc. And I'm trying to evolve with it, right? The I is trying to allow the me to evolve into who I can be. But when I don't understand that, right? When I feel that other people are telling me what to do, and I don't understand that it's actually I am telling me, right? Notice the language. I am telling me what to do, and not somebody else is telling me what to do, then I'll be okay. But most people think that God is some guy in the sky, and the Torah is some dictation of things that are forcing me to act in a certain way that I don't want to act in, then of course I'm not interested in the Torah. It's only when I understand that the Torah, that God is the I am, right? That God is I am telling me what to do. When I say I am telling what to do, I am, right? The I that is the actor is telling me, who is the character, what to do. Now, I don't have to listen to myself. That's why it's called advice. But if you don't listen to yourself, right? So when I tell myself, Yonatan, don't eat that, don't eat that, don't eat that, and then I eat it, who's there to blame? Am I blaming John? I used to blame Sean for putting out a new batch of French fries every time I walked by. Right? And then I stopped blaming Sean because I started blaming Tyrone. But now, really, I have to blame myself. And when I tell myself that this is not what I want to do, and then I keep doing it, then that's when we have a problem. Who wants to read to us the next piece? Starts with, you cannot focus on light. this was my native tongue, I'd read it. No takers. Afterwards says Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, you cannot focus on light.
You cannot focus on light. You cannot think about light. You cannot picture light. Light cannot become the object of consciousness. In fact, it is light that enables me to focus on anything. I can only experience light as the power that lets me see Or Yashar and reflected Or Chozer and whatever it reveals and gives presence to. Light hints to all the cognitive powers of the unbounded self. What does seeing look like, hearing sound like, taste like, feeling feel like? Seeing cannot be described by anything seen. It has no shape, color, texture. Hearing cannot be described by anything heard. Taste cannot be defined by anything flavored. Touch cannot be defined in terms of anything touched. So too, the light slash self cannot be defined. It is revealed by revealing others. Consciousness is like light. You cannot picture it. Although it can be seen, it is what enables you to see. When you imagine a ray of light, you are really imagining a ray of dust illuminated by the light. Consciousness like light can only be experienced reflected in others. But you cannot look at it directly. You know it is there because it is the power that lets you see what is there. God is the light. God is like the light in our bedroom that lets us see what's there. Without light, you cannot see anything. Light shows us large and small, white and black, long and short, but it itself, the light, or our field of consciousness is neither large or small, nor any other of these qualities, forms and objects which it reveals. Yet if the light were not there, none of the objects would be revealed. The Or Ein Sof, however, is considered not only that which illuminates and knows the universe, but also that which generates the things known.
So right, so light is something that you can't touch and can't explain. That's why the Torah, God, is light. God, we call God Or Ein Sof. He's the infinite light, right? You can't see light. You can only see God, the relationship light has with this table. Then it's going to be whatever, blackish, or this is going to be some sort of maroon, right? And even when you're looking at a light bulb, you're not seeing light, right? You're seeing the heat that is generated that then can create further light, right? The sun is not light. Light is what comes out of the sun, right? Sun is just explosions of fire billions of miles away from you, right? But at the end of the day, that's our relationship to God, right? So the same way light is not tangible, even food is not, taste is not something. Taste is only what the reflection I get when I apply it on to sweet potato fries, right? And touch, I can't touch nothing. Only if I touch something do I have, right? So all these senses that we have, they're only reflective, right? So there's Or Yashar. Or Yashar is God sending his ray of light. You cannot see that. Oh, the only thing we can see is how it impacts things, how it reflects off things, right? And therefore, part of our struggle into seeing God in the world, experiencing God or connecting to God is really just through myself and my perception of things react. Right, we could sit here all day and have a discussion if the Six-Day War was a miracle or not. And what's the answer? Define miracle, right? That would be the answer, right? Meaning, what's a miracle? Something that is out of the ordinary, which means that, you know, this reflection of light that we're not used to seeing, right? So the same way there are radio waves in this room, and I can't listen to them because I don't have the right transmitter, and there's a television in this room, but I can't watch it because I don't have the right provider. There's God in this room, and I need the right equipment to be able to see that light reflect off something. And therefore, what does God reflect off? Me, right? That's the I am. I am the manifestation of God. I am the reflective facet of God. God projects light into the world, right? Light bounces off this and makes it red. That light bounces off that and makes it blue. Light bounces off that and makes it purple. And God bounces off you and makes it Josh. And God bounces off you and makes it David. And God bounces off you and makes it Asher. And God bounces off me and makes it Yonatan. And that is me. My experience of him, this Ein Sof light, is only through myself. Let's finish this up. You got it? You want to continue? We can tell Zach, but he just sat down.
Accustomed to thinking in categories of space, we conceive of God as a being vis-a-vis ourselves as if we were here and he were there. We think of him in the likeness of things, as if he were a thing among things, a being among beings. Entering the meditation about the ultimate, we must rid ourselves of the intellectual habit of converting reality into an object of our minds. We often fail in trying to understand him, but because we do not know how to extend our concepts far enough, but because we do not know how to be in close enough. To think of God is not to find him as an object in our minds, but to find ourselves in him. God is neither a thing nor an idea. He is within and beyond all things and all ideas. He remains beyond our reach as long as we do not know that our reach is within him. That he is the knower and we are the known, that to be means to be thought of by him. Thinking of God is made possible by his being the subject and by our being his object. To conceive ourselves as a reflection of his reality. Since he is not away from us and we are not beyond him, he can never become the mere object of our thoughts. As in thinking about ourselves, the object cannot be detached from the subject. So in thinking of God, the subject cannot be detached from the object. In thinking of him, we realize that there is through, realize that, it's
that it is through him
that we think of him. Thus we must think of him as the subject of all, as the life of our life, as the mind of our minds. To the philosopher, God is an object. To man at prayer, he is the subject. Their aim is not to possess him as a concept of knowledge, to be informed about him as if he were a fact among facts. What they crave is for the holy possessed by him.
Right? So one of the things that we have to understand is that our ability to understand God is that he is the subject, and we are the object, right? That he is a creator, and we're the creation. And if there were no creation, there would be nobody to fathom God, right? And if there is no part of the reason God created the world is because he wanted a relationship, right? He wanted a relationship with us, and therefore our connection to him is through which is through us, right? So let's see like this. Ritzadok says like this: Mechuvan kol haTorah leagia lasagat anochi Hashem Elokecha. What is the goal of the entire Torah? To reach Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? To know that I am, that the great I am is Hashem, right? That I am Hashem. When I say I am Hashem, right? When I say in Shema, when I'm the Chazan, I say Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet, I mean Ani Hashem. Right? Now, this is where maybe some other religions went wrong when they heard somebody saying that I am God, and they thought that he meant that he is God. But now that I am God, the same way, you know, God is the universe, but the universe isn't God, right? God is the universe and much more, right? God is me, but I'm not God, right? God is much more. And when I say I am God, I mean the innermost me is a manifestation of God, right? And part of being holy, and this is why holy, if you see here, is spelt with a W, right? Because holy is obviously a misspelled concept in English. Holy doesn't mean hollow. Holy means to be part of the whole, right? I am part of the whole. And we come here together. We are a part of a bigger part of the wholeness, which is God, right? Which is the creation. So I start off by loving myself, right? I have to love myself because ve'yavta l'recha kamocha, I can only love my neighbor as much as I love myself. Then I have to expand outwards. To my family, to my friends, to my community, and to the whole world, right? Sadly, there are people who love everybody in the world, but they don't love their kids, right? They're too busy saving kids in a different country, and they don't even care about their kids. But it really has to start outwards, and I have to connect to the fact that there's more to me than me. And that's why we're in love with love. That's why we're obsessed about love. Because love is the ability to me to experience myself as more than me, right? My whole life, I experience me as me. When I'm in love, then I experience me and the other me as we, right? Me turns into we. And that's a greater part of me. That's two me's that turn into we. And therefore, I'm experiencing a greater I, right? Now, sadly, we live in a world where even the we is spelled W-I-I. Right, where there is even when we're together, it's all about me. I'm playing right with the we, and you're playing with the we, but there is no actual us together. So the goal of the entire Torah is to know that you are part of God. And you know that through the mitzvos. The more you do the mitzvos, the more you understand how to connect your, how to connect me to I. Right? And that's the goal. Everything, the Torah, God said, I am your God. And then everything else is just how to experience that. Right? Right? So the wedding night is one night. And marriage is your whole life. Right? But you can't have marriage if you don't have the wedding night. Right? And the whole goal, I don't want to say the whole goal, but definitely one of the goals of marriage is to experience what you experienced on the wedding night when you were so, when you couldn't see this in any other way than ribbons and bows and love and for eternity. Right? So what you're trying to do in a relationship is to go back to that experience. So let's see Reb Tzadok at the end of the page. And he says like this. כפתיחת התורה שבכתב, באנוכי ולא יהיה, שזה כל התורה כולה, ואידך פירוש על זיל גמור, עצות שונות בכל זמן ובכל מקום, איך לבוא לזכירה זו. אבל המכוון בעולם הוא הידיעה האלוקית שלא יזוז מן הלב ולא ישלוט בו השכחה חס ושלום. Anybody want to read the English on the other side, the top of the other page?
The Torah starts with, I'm God your Lord, you shall know other gods. Because that was a sorry, because that's the whole point of the Torah, and the rest is commentary. Different advice for different time and places, how to remember this and not forget.
Right? So the different times and different places, the Torah is just advice on how not to forget that what you experience in Har Sinai. And that's why in Har Sinai, you didn't hear God. You know, I mean, you walk into a director's office and they're filming, I don't know, the Ten Commandments. And they're saying, you know, searching for the voice of God. And some guy walks in and goes, I am God. And the guy goes, no, that's not, can't be the voice of God. Some other guy walks in and goes, I am God. And they go, no. And then they bring in, you know, Morgan Freeman. He's like, I am God, your Lord. And he's like, that's it. Right? We have some warped understanding of how God sounds. How did God sound? You heard you. You heard your voice. You heard yourself speaking to yourself. Right? The same way when you met a 100-year-old you that said, don't take that major. It's useless in the future. And you listened to it. That's what you heard in Har Sinai. You yourself said, respect your parents. And you're like, I know. Right? The only time I fight with my wife is then when I think that we're two different people. When I am able to understand the fact that when we have a conversation, it's actually a monologue of the I speaking to himself through the two me's that are we, and there is no fight. Right? Because when I say to myself, please don't eat those sweet potato fries, and then I don't listen to me, and then when Avital says it, all of a sudden I get upset. Why do you get upset? That's just you telling yourself what to do, right? That's a greater you. That's the I that is conversing here right now, right? So in Har Sinai, we didn't hear God in the shallow understanding of Hollywood. You heard yourself saying, don't commit adultery. And you're like, yes, that makes perfect sense, right? And everything, all the etzos, all the Torah, the rest of the Torah is all just advice for, as he says here, different advice for different time and different place, how to remember this and not forget it. That you are a manifestation of God. That God is not some external being who's forcing you what to do, but rather you, right? When Bluetooth speaker meets Bluetooth, right, and goes, oh my God, you're the thing that empowers me to play music that is being played on the phone over here in the speaker. That is so cool, right? But if he thinks he's not a Bluetooth speaker, then he's like, oh, what, you want to possess me? You want to force me to play music that I don't want to play? I'm a Bluetooth speaker. I can play whatever I want. And you're like, no, you can't, right? That is you. That is your purpose. That's who you are. So many people are thinking, who am I? What am I here for? What am I doing in this world? Because they think that other people are telling them what to do. And if you could only listen to the fact that it's actually you telling yourself what to do, then you wouldn't know who you are. You would feel very comfortable being you. So he says like this, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shehu Lachnis Kedusha Balev, Lo Ne'emar B'Lashon Tzivur, Rak B'Lashon Avtacha. Right? What commandment is I am God? How is that a commandment? Right? So what does Reb Tzadok say? Right? I am God, your Lord, means to infuse holiness into your heart. This is not expressed as a commandment, but a promise. I promise that you will know that I am Hashem. How? Follow this other stuff. Right? Notice here all in the translation that whole is with a W. Right? Holiness has to be with a W. Right? Because that's the right translation of Kedusha. right? The Christian translation, the English, the regular English translation, is that Kedusha is a void, it's separate, it's not connected. No, of course not. Of course not. A holy person is a person who's connected to the whole, right? The greater I. You can't be holy and not connected to the I, the greater I am. Okay, so let's see 7, Orot HaKodesh, Rav Kook. Et ha'ani shelanu nevakesh. We did this. Cool. I had it on both pages. Let's just read the English. Okay, who wants to read the English? We shall seek our I.
I'll read.
Okay.
We shall seek our I, ourselves, and we shall find us. Cast off all alien gods, and know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord.
And continue, 8.
Adam the second lives in close union with God. His existential I experience is interwoven in the awareness of communing with the greater self.
Right, so Adam the second, right, the second in the second verse of creation, is so much connected to Hashem, right, that he doesn't really feel any void. And that's why God says, Lo tov yot Adam levado. The only time God says it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone because he's not going to feel a sense of lacking. And therefore, God created Chava in order for man to feel a sense of longing, a sense of connection, and therefore also ultimately connect, feel a sense of connection to God, right? Because when you feel yourself so much as an I, you feel so much as God, then you don't have, you're not even searching for him, right? So Chava and Adam were back to back, and they were so much one that they didn't even know the other person, right? When you try explaining to heads what tails is, right? You're like, oh, heads or tails? And heads is like, why do you always say tails? What does that mean? Like, tails is the other side of you. What other side of me? You are also tails, just on the other side, right? And like, no, I'm heads, right? And that's exactly how Adam and Chava felt, and God had to cut the coin in half and let heads and tails meet. And now they have this longing to be one again, but through longing, right? So when we live in Gan Eden, in God's palace, we, our soul, the I, doesn't feel any need to connect to God because it is God. It's a total manifestation of God. There's nothing but God, and that's what God is. So God separates us from him, puts us down in this world with the sense of longing to the greater I am, and then we long, and then we come back, and we can be with God, not as heads never met tails, but heads and tails that have spent so much time being heads and tails, that now when you glue them back together, and you say heads or tails, head says, let it be tails, let it be tails, let it be tails, and tails says, no, let it be heads, right? Each one loves the other one so much that he wants the other one to be expressed. See, one of the problems that we face when we're talking about this topic is that, sometimes it's not that, sometimes people have a hard time finding a spouse, not because they don't love the other person, because they don't love themselves. I don't feel worthy of love. I don't love me enough, right, to actually think that there can be a relationship here, right? I'm not worthy. And sometimes our problem starts not when we don't love them enough, when we don't love us enough, right? And we just feel, it doesn't really matter what I do. Nothing's ever going to happen, right? And therefore, I don't love the other person. So a lot of times in Judaism, a person is not believing in God, not because he doesn't believe in God, because he doesn't believe in himself, right? What does it matter if I get up in the morning or not? I'm one person, makes no difference, right? No, right? So a lot of times, that's why I don't believe in God, because I don't believe that I make a difference. Rav Kook says, Ani ohev et hakol. I love everything. Eneni yachol shelo ohev et habriyot. I can't not love all of creation. Et kol ha'amim, all the nations. Rotzei ani b'chol ma'amkei lev b'tiferet hakol. In true heartedness, I want to see the beauty of everything. B'takanat hakol, in the fixing of everything. Avati l'Yisrael yoter nilheva. My love for Am Yisrael is with more impassion, yoter amuka, with deeper connection. Aval chefetz apnimi mitpashet hu be'azuz ahavato el hakol mamash. But my true love is expansive to everything, because I am just part. The more I have an expansive conscious of myself, the more I can connect to everything as part of an interconnected idea. Right? Try to explain to a leaf on the south side of the tree that there's a leaf on the other side of the tree, and the leaf on the other side says, I never met this leaf. I have nothing to do with this leaf. This leaf has totally. I have no connection. What are you talking about? You're connected to the same tree. Can't be, right? No, you are. You're just on the other side. You just can't see it. No, I'm connected to this branch. That's all there is, right? I can't. This little tiny leaf can't see beyond this branch, right? No. So, of course, he feels strongly connected to this branch. But his expansiveness and love has to expand to all. אין לו כוח צורף לחוף את הרגש האהבה, הוא נובע ישר מעומק הקודש של החוכמה של הנשמה האלוקית. Right? The greatest connection we can have is when I'm connected to I, then I'm connected to all the other actors on the set. It's only when I'm stuck in me that, you know, we're great enemies. In the play that we're playing right now, right? I'm Israel, you're Palestine, and we're enemies. But on offset, we're actually best friends, right? Right? I remember there was like I forget in which movie it is. It wasn't one of the Marvel's movies where there were a Nemesis and two guys they were always fighting and on the show and in their actual suits of whatever hero he was and whatever Nemesis he was, they actually went offset and grabbed a shawarma together. Or I forget what it was, yeah, and there was a snapshot of everybody eating together, and it was like, hey, you guys can't eat together, you're enemies. Yeah, that's only in the play, right? Obviously, I understand that in a greater sense of everything, we're not enemies, right? We're not enemies. We're all part of this great unraveling of things, right? So many times in life, the reason I can't connect to you is not because I don't love you; it's because I don't love me. All right, me is such a character that I don't want to be, right? It's because I think that's all I am, right? And as a kid, you know, with ADD and learning disabilities, I didn't want to be me, right? I had suicidal thoughts. I didn't want to be me. It's only when I realized that I am much more than me, and that I can shape me, and that I can take all of these disabilities, so quote, that the world has told me are disabilities, and turn them into my greatest allies, because I am much more than me. Then I started loving me. Because I didn't see everything through that narrative of me, that narrative of me. I had a more broader expansiveness of me is a part of me, and I am much more than that, right? So I am much more than a student. Right? I remember 2 years ago when I went to donate bone marrow, so my body made way more than average of stem cells. And the woman that got my bone marrow recovered in about a week and a half. Usually it's like 3 to 4 weeks. And the doctor said, wow, you made so much, way more than average. And my mom said, okay, so you weren't above average in high school. But when it comes to this, see? Okay, right? So I stopped being a student, and therefore I don't care that I was below average in high school, because a student is not who I am. A student is part of who I am, but it's not who I am. It's just me. And where it really mattered, I was above average. Okay? And obviously, thank God my mom was there to point it out. Right? You're above average. In what? Stem cells. Right? And that's why I don't know why they don't call me back. This is the one thing I'm obviously good at, right? But that's the problem, is when I get stuck in this is me, and my own narrative is this is me, I am this person, I am this student, I am this major, I am the son of these people, right? Then I'm doomed. That is a part of who you are, a son of these people. A part of who you are is a student. A part of who you are is affiliated with this group. A part of who you are is so-and-so's friend. That's just a part of who you are. When you say, I am more than all those pieces. And if I don't love me, then of course I'm not going to love you. And of course I'm not going to love them. And of course I'm not going to love him. Because I don't love me. And that's why I need to start growing and changing out of who I am. Right? And sometimes a kid, you know, you have a younger brother in school, and he says, ah, oh, school's so bad. And what do you say to him? Okay. Get through school. You'll graduate. School's not everything, right? School's not everything. Just get through it, right? But your little brother, all he can see himself as a high school kid. And that's it. That's all it is. Rav Cook says like this. Rav Tzadok says like this. Who wants to read the English? Number 10. I cut out the Hebrew to make room on the page. Fleischman, go for it. I'm voluntolding you.
The main point of everything and all that is intended in the entire Torah and 613 mitzvot is to bond through them to a living God. And realize the first statement that we heard from the Almighty, I am the Lord your God, and it is said, and you are bonded with the Lord. In other words, all have a connection to this bond because the stated heart of God is his people. This is a source of constant joy. This is a happiness that has no sadness, and nothing can interfere or restrain this happiness. That he has merited to be a part of a living God. And even if he has sunk to a low place and his sins immeasurably numerous, still of God does not take away without connection of his root has not been cut off from its source. This is impossible. As it says, life, instead, he devises way so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him.
Continue to the next English.
when we forget the essence of our soul itself, when we are distracted from introspection, from the content of inner life, everything becomes confusing. The beginning of repentance, which immediately illuminates the darkness, is that man return to himself, the root of his soul, and he will at once return to God, to the soul of all souls. This is true for the individual, the entire nation, for all of humanity, for the perfection of existence as a whole. Its ruin always comes when it forgets itself. And if a person says she/he wants to come back to God, but it is not prepared to gather in its own dispersed powers, then this is a false teshuvah, and he is using God's name in vain.
Right? So what is Rukuk talking about? Right? About the true connection to yourself. Right? As he says now, where Rabbi Nachman says, and this and Rav Kook is stating it, that where should a person look for happiness? Inside. Not outside. The more you're looking for happiness outside, the more you're gonna fail. The more you're gonna be disappointed. Happiness is inside. Lo behaskamat abriot, not happiness is based on what people agree with. Velo b'shum kariera o eze shetier. In a career is not where you're gonna find happiness. The more I know myself, the more I allow myself to be original and to draw from the source of who I am, from an internal source of knowing who I am, the more I connect to myself, the more I know myself, the more I can draw sources for myself. But if all who I am is what you want me to be, then I am not me, right? As the famous Katzer Karebi once said, if I am me because you are you, and if you are you because I am me, then I am not me and you are not you. But if I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you, right? I can't be me in reaction to you. And a lot of times that happens in marriage, and people get entangled, right? Because you expect me to be a certain person, or I told you I'm a certain person when we were dating, and now I have to be that person. I'm stuck. And at a certain time, I just need to be me. And if you can accept that, then go. Right? But there has to be a point where I am the true me. And when a person, right? And one of the things that I find a lot in my job that I've been doing this for a while is that many times I speak to people, and really what I want to tell them, I say, you don't need theology. You need psychology. Right? What's really the problem is you need, this is a psychological problem about you and yourself. It has nothing to do with God. Has to do with you figuring yourself out. Are you blaming God and putting it all on God? Sure. But, you know, I'm a rabbi. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist, right? Your parents treated you in a way that you're not happy with. Your girlfriend dumped you in high school. Your teachers told you that you're going to be really bad. You're not happy with the traits that you have. You need a psychologist. It's not a bad thing. Thank God the consensus of going to a psychologist, we live in a world where that's totally okay. And a lot of times people are struggling with Judaism, but really they're struggling with themselves. So if they're struggling with themselves, they can't experience God, because the way to experience God is through you, right? So if the way to experience God is through my eyes and I'm closing my eyes, the problem is not the light, the problem is my eyes. Open your eyes, right? And that's why we say in Davin, open, let our eyes see you're returning. Because we know, we feel inside that you're returning to Zion, but we can't see it. And all I need to do is, I know the problem is not the light. I know the problem in my eyes. Right? So, okay. So, there's more here. There's more here. We're probably not going to, let's do the last English part on the other page. Jordan, you want to read this?
Sure.
You need a different page over there.
Regarding
about Nasev and Ishma.
Regarding the fact that Israel first said, we will do, and then we will listen, how would they know what to do? Indeed, Abraham kept the entire Torah even before it was given. How did he know it? Because of his great efforts to know his Creator, this itself is the entirety of Torah. To reach to the awareness of I is
Havaya, your God.
Havaya, your God. Therefore, we are taught Abraham's kidneys became wellsprings of Torah. He grasped the 613 pieces of advice, and so too the innovative decrees, legislation, and commandments of the sages are the words of the living Torah. We, therefore, bless over him, he who has sanctified us in his commandments and commanded us, This is because the sages realized on their own what to do, although they did not hear it from God. When the Jewish people said, we will do before we will hear, they too reached this level of knowing what to do on their own.
Right? So when the Jewish people understood that Mamad Har Sinai is not going to be you telling me what to do, but rather me hearing from I what I think is the best thing to do, then of course I'll do it. Right? I mean, how silly would it be if you met a 100-year-old you and you're like, what? I'm not taking that advice. That's stupid. That would be silly. Right? But if you had an opportunity to talk to you at age 60, and I ask you, you know, you talk to you at age 60, are you going to listen to what they have to say? I'll do and I'll listen, right? Of course I'll do it. What are you talking about? It's me. It's not you. It's not anything external to me. But as long as you think that God is Avinu Shebashamayim, some God in the sky, some powerful dominion overlord who's telling me what to do, then I don't want to listen to him. But once I understand that hearing him telling me what to do is hearing what I want me to do, then of course I'll do it. Then of course I'll do it.